kind of a round-out night. We have been talking about missions for the whole month of March in one way or another. And so I want to round out kind of the month of March by talking about missions, maybe from a little different perspective tonight. It's really where it all got started, right here in Genesis chapter number 3. We talk a lot about reading the biographies of all the great missionaries, and I encourage you to do that. There's certainly many great biographies out there of the missionaries of past, and it would not only encourage you, but it would challenge you to read about the David Brainerds and the Hudson Taylors, the Judsons. There's just so many wonderful, wonderful biographies out there about these men who gave their lives. I'm trying to think, Jim Elliott, what a testimony that Brother Elliott had, he and his wife, as they went and paid the ultimate sacrifice, as did some of these others. And you read about men and women with commitment and resolve like these individuals, and it's a great challenge to your heart as you read. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Genesis chapter number 3, I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand. I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture to you. We'll read just one. As you're reading along through the Bible, you maybe start at Genesis 1 and you read through Genesis 1 and you see where God began. You know, it just says God said and God said and God said and God said. And you don't have to get too far before you realize that the God that you're reading about speaks and things happen. Amen. You don't have to read too far in Genesis 1 before you realize this God that I'm reading about has power in His Word because God says it and things become. And then you get into Genesis chapter 2, and if you just for a moment look down at verse number 4, you find, well, God wants to reveal Himself in a different light because it goes from God, G-O-D, and in chapter number 4, or chapter number 2 and verse number 4, God reveals Himself as the Lord God. That's capital L-O-R-D. And of course, that's the covenant-keeping God. And God said, you know, I'm a God of complexity. Your mind cannot, your little finite mind cannot wrap around me, but I want to reveal myself to you in all of my majesty and all of my wonder. And so we find here that God began to make man. He formed him. The Bible says in verse number 4, from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living, not being. If your Bible says being, you don't have the right one. A living soul. God made man in His image. And God is triune, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And we are as well as made in God's image, body, soul, and spirit. God made man a living soul. He formed him from the dust of the earth, and God began to deal with man. He planted a garden in chapter 2, the Bible tells us, and He put man in that garden. And He said, I have some responsibilities for you. I want you, in chapter 2, verse 15, He says, to dress and keep that garden there in Eden. And so man had these responsibilities to bring fulfillment in his life. He had fellowship with God, a beautiful creation. My, what must have been in that paradise? And God said, you know, I want to give you some prohibition. Chapter number 2 and verse number 16, the Bible says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so God gave him a prohibition. And then chapter 2, verse number 18, God says, now I want to give you something. He said, you know, it's not good for you to be alone. I found out a long time ago that our world is backward on everything. We teach, you know, we teach young people this and that about getting married. He said, when you get married, when God puts in your heart that it's not good to be alone, that's when you start considering marriage. God made that decision. Adam did not go to God and say, God, I'm lonely. God said it's not good for man to be alone. And God made a woman for that man. Not a man for a man. Not two women for a man. For a man. Amen. It's this way. Hey, this is God's way. Can't improve on God's way. It's the right way. And so in chapter 2, verse number 7, we have what? The first human. In chapter 2, verse number 18, we have the helpmeet. Now, it didn't say helpmate. It's helpmeet. If you'll look in chapter 2, verse 18, it says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. Someone compatible with him. Okay? So chapter 2, verse 7, the first human. Chapter 2, verse 18, the first helpmeet. Chapter 2, verse 24, the first home. Okay? God performed a wedding ceremony there in the garden. He sure did. And he united in holy matrimony, man and woman. All the way through chapter 1 through chapter the end of chapter 2, if you, and I challenge you, don't do it right now, but you'll go and you'll find where there's periods. Periods. Because these are what's called imperative statements. But now we get to chapter 3, and I want to read verse 1, and you can decide with me what the difference is. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question mark. Oh, there's the first question in all the Bible. And it comes from those, from that one who has been trying to cast doubt in people's minds ever since. Trying to cast doubt on what God has said. And so he asked the question, and he questioned many things, and I want to talk to you about that and what God's response was. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us to learn from your Word tonight. As we close out this month on a Wednesday night, as we close out our month of meeting through Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we've heard much about winning souls. We've heard from wonderful, wonderful men of God, Dr. Baldwin, Dr. Godfrey, wonderful families as the Tinsley family, the Hill family, the De Los Reyes family, the Coffee family. We thank you for these families, God, that have dedicated themselves to serve you in the capacity of missions. And I pray your greatest blessing upon their lives and ministry. Encourage them wherever they are tonight and whatever they may be doing as they serve you. God, would you encourage them and would you strengthen them? And may you meet their every need. Let them know that there's a people in Madison, Virginia that is thinking of them and praying for them and holding their hands up as they serve you in the capacity of which you've given them to serve. Help us tonight to focus on your love and help us to commit to your ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. God, help us to commit ourselves to reaching men, women, boys, and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ here in Madison, our Jerusalem, and even around the world through worldwide evangelism. God, we will thank you for it because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. As I said, you can go reading along in chapter 1 of Genesis and you read through and you find periods, and then you go through in chapter 2 and you find statements. And then you get to chapter 3 and the devil, the serpent, the devil in the form of serpent, enters into the picture and he begins to cast doubt. He begins to ask a question. And I want to talk with you just a little bit about what happened here. And I'm eager to get down a little further in chapter 3 to see how God responded to this. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he came to Eve, he came to the woman, and he said, yea, hath God said. In other words, what the devil is doing here is he's casting doubt. He's casting doubt. God immediately, you get three chapters into the Bible, and he says, I want you to meet your enemy. Now, three chapters, I think it's very interesting that three chapters before the close of the Bible, God says, I want to tell you the final destination of your enemy. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the Bible says the devil is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Amen? So he said, I want to introduce you to him three chapters into the Bible. And then three chapters before the Bible closes, he said, oh, and by the way, I want to tell you what his final destination is. He's not going to win. Amen? So here in chapter number 3, the devil, you know this story, don't you? You've read this. You've read this account of Scripture. God made man, and he told man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But, he said, I'm making a prohibition. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, God gave that commandment to who? Say it loud. Adam. Now, I find nowhere where God gave that commandment to Eve. I'm going to give you my opinion, and you can take it for what it's worth. I don't normally give opinions. I believe that Adam gave Eve the commandment of God and said, now listen, you see that tree? We're not to eat of that tree. I believe God did that because he was establishing headship, authority. And he said, now Adam, I'm holding you responsible. I believe that because when you, and you don't have to turn there tonight, but when you read in the scripture in Romans chapter 5, God held Adam responsible. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So God did not hold Eve responsible before Adam. God held Adam responsible. Right? The Bible says, for as by one man all die. That man was Adam. And in one man all have life, and that's Christ. So we find in chapter number 3 where the serpent came to Eve. Now the devil's always playing this way. The devil always does things this way. And I'm going to show you some things. You can know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. I'm going to say that again. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil's been doing things the same way for many, many years. Same way. As a matter of fact, if it's sometime in your own reading, you ought to turn to Matthew 4, Luke 4, and find the way the devil tempted Christ. Same way he tempted Eve here, in the same areas. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Same way. So he comes to Eve, and the first thing he does is he's got to do this. Listen, before the devil can ever get you in a position of weakness, he's got to get you to doubt God's word. He's got to disarm you. Now, listen, your only weapon against the devil is the sword. Listen to me now. Now, Eve didn't have a thick sword. She had two verses, as far as I can tell. Amen. But I want to tell you, the devil went right to work on those two verses. Right? Chapter 2, look at it again. Chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, here's the sword. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So what's the devil do? The devil comes in chapter 3, the serpent, and he attacks that truth. He tries to dull the sword, if not disarm the warrior. So if I'm going to be victorious, if I'm going to win over temptation, if I'm going to not live a defeated but yet live a victorious Christian life, I've got to keep my sword sharp. Amen. You got to know what the Word says. Did Eve know what the Word said? Don't think so. Did you know what the Word says? If you don't, beware. Here he comes. Watch him. Verse number 2. Well, we'll start with verse 1. Yea, hath God said. I want you to write out by that doubt. Because this is what he's saying. Eve, you need to doubt. Did you hear God say it? Now, this is what you've heard God said. That's what some guy told you. That's what some man said. But now, did God say it to you? How can you know God said it if you didn't hear it? We hear a lot of like that today. But here's the language today. Well, you know, do you have the originals? You know, in the originals, all you've heard is what's been translated and passed down to you. Hey, can I tell you, I have the Word of God. You do too. Amen. And so God's preserved His Word from generation unto generation. God has preserved His Word. The problem is not, has God preserved it? Are we going to believe it? Has God preserved His Word? He either has or He hasn't. And I believe He has. And so I have a copy of it. Now, there's not more than one copy of God's Word. Yeah, things that are different are not the same. Amen. And so here He comes. All right? And here's what He said to Eve. Eve, did God say? Hath God said? Did God say that? Did you hear Him say it? You see the doubt that He's casting here? Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Are you sure of God? Why would God say something like that, Eve? How do you know it's not just man trying to control you? We hear that all the time, don't we? So there's doubt. Then I want you to notice it goes from doubt to the next level. Once the enemy gets you doubting, gets me doubting, oh, we're in his hands now. We're in his hands. Notice what happens right after that. It goes from doubt to denial. Watch how quickly the devil says, now, did God say that? And then Eve responded this way. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I do not have time to go into this, but there's two things that you need to know. There are subtractions and additions to what God said. You compare chapter 3, verse 2 to chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and you'll find where Eve doesn't know what God said. She doesn't. God didn't say anything about not touching the tree. Did God say anything about touching the tree? Now the devil knows. She doesn't know. Now look what he does. After Eve, in chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, exposes her lack of knowledge about the Word, notice how brazen the enemy gets. This is going to happen to you and I when we do not equip ourselves with this book right here. Notice what the devil does. He went from, hath God said? He said, I'm going to tell you what God said. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. In other words, it doesn't matter what you think God said. It's not going to happen. So we started out by asking, did God say this? And Eve revealed her ignorance. And now he said, oh no, you're not going to die. You don't believe that. Die? Die? Oh, let's see if I got this right. You're going to eat a piece of fruit and God's going to kill you for it. What kind of loving God is that? God loves you too much to do that to you. What's God trying to keep you from? You won't die. So it goes from doubt to blatant denial. Do you see that? Do you see the doubt? Hath God said? And then, you won't die. And then it goes to complete delusion. Watch what happens after this. After he told the woman, you shall not die, he said, for God, in verse number 5, doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He said, God's holding back on you, Eve. And I'm not so sure Adam's not in it with him. Well, I tell you, you women have been held down for so long. Y'all might ought to speak up and stand up for yourself. That's what we're hearing today. But here, it's the same thing. Eve, God's holding out on you. How do you know Adam's what he's saying so? He tells you what this God's saying. And now you believe that God's going to kill you? You're going to die? If you eat a piece of fruit, what kind of God is that, Eve? Let me tell you what God's got up his sleeve, Eve. God's trying to hold out on you. He knows that if you eat, that you'll be a God and you'll be just like him. And God's trying to keep you suppressed. And you thought that women's lib just started 50 years ago. But we do find out who's been behind it all along. And so now, Eve takes the bait. The Bible says, and when the woman saw, it's amazing how things always start out that way, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? how it always starts off with a look. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took. Someone said the look turned into lust, and the desire turned into a delight. I'm going to take this and I'm going to eat it. And the Bible says that she ate, and notice what it says after she ate. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Now, notice what it says. Look at the verbs in this verse number 6. Would you underline the word saw, and then underline the word took, and then underline the word eat, and look at the next verb. Gave. Amazing how sin does that to us. Isn't it? I can find nowhere in the Bible where Adam walked up on Eve and said, "Hey, what are you doing, honey? Can I have a bite of that?" Sin will turn seducers into us all. We always want other people. Remember when you were young, some of you probably never grew out of it. Amen. Remember when you were young and you got in trouble, you always wanted somebody to get in trouble with you. Hey, come on, let's go, I don't know, egg a house. Amen. That sounds like trouble. Let's go do this. Let's go get in some trouble. Well, you go get in trouble yourself. Right? You always want somebody to be with you. Let's drink this or smoke that or snort this or go here or do that. And so here Eve, she saw. You see the progression. She saw. And then she took. And then she ate. And then the very first thing she did after she ate was she gave. She shared it. Now I want you to do it. I did it. Now I want you to do it. You remember when you were a kid and people were trying to get you to try stuff, no matter what it was. Look, look, look. And then they'd hand it out to you. Then hand it to you, right? Then hand it, right? Hey, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Go over and steal something and then say, look, you know, now you go steal something. Hey, sin does that. Sin does that. So now here's Adam and Eve. You know, I find it very interesting. I want you to watch this. I do not know. The Bible doesn't say. I could give you my opinion, but I've already given you one tonight, and I'm only going to give you one opinion per service. We need to stick to the Word. Notice what the Scripture says here. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree was desired to make one wise. By the way, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Here it is right here. Write that scripture down. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. The devil still deals just like this today. Still today. Still today. All that's of the world now. John said it. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All that's of the world, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. It's of this world system, the system of Antichrist, the anti-God way. It's to look at it. You see something you want, take it. And when you take it, consume it. And when you consume it, share it. Get somebody else involved. That's the way. That's the way of the evil one. That's the way of the devil. Now, when you see what's happened here, the devil tempted Eve. It appears that Adam wasn't present. But then, I don't know if Eve walked to Adam to tempt him or to give to him, or if Adam walked up on the situation. But don't you find it really something that the devil did not tempt Adam? He didn't. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says that Satan tempted Adam here. Who tempted Adam? Eve. Notice what it says in verse number 6. After she did eat, the Bible says, and gave also unto her husband with her. And then the Bible says, he did eat. It didn't say that, you know, time went on and Eve said, you know, I've done something that you should know about. And he said, what is it? And then the devil said, well, let me just break the news to you, Adam. Your wife sinned and you may as well go ahead and sin too. The devil did not tempt Adam. Eve did. As a matter of fact, you'll find where the Bible says that Adam wasn't even tempted. He just committed a willful act of disobedience. Is that what the Bible teaches? 1 Timothy, hold your place here and let's turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, turn quickly and I'll share this with you. You need to know this, all right? I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is the chapter where we find that if there's no such thing as women preachers, and I know that just breaks some of your heart. Because you're going to meet me after the service and say, my wife can prove you wrong. She preaches to me every day. Amen? I understand that, all right? I'm talking about God-called women preachers. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says in verse 11 and 12 that a woman should be silent. And we know that what that's speaking of. It's not talking about a woman coming to church and keeping her mouth closed the whole time, though some of you men wish they would. Amen. That's not what it's talking about. Some of the women wish the men would too. Say amen, ladies. This is not talking about that. They sing. They teach women and children. Titus chapter 2 says that. It's talking about, in verse number 12, not usurping authority to teach or usurp authority over the man. That's not hard for me. I don't need a Greek lexicon for that. Say amen. We don't have to get out and break it down. Listen, the big bossy women are not here tonight, so you can say amen, men. Tell you, we live in a society of sissies. I'm for treating a woman right. A woman is God's crown of creation. Say amen. When God created a woman, in my opinion, He created that is the crown of God's creation. You ought to treat your wife and every other woman like a lady. A lady. Treat her the way God created her to be treated. Created her to be treated like a lady. The scripture says here in verse number 13, for Adam was first formed and then Eve. Adam was not deceived. You see that? Look at it. Adam was not deceived. Again, I do not need a concordance or a lexicon to figure that out. Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. All right? Adam wasn't deceived. Adam had a decision to make. My wife has sinned, as we go back to Genesis chapter 3. My wife has fallen. And we're separated. And now I've got a decision to make. Am I going to remain separated from her, or am I going to get separated from God? But I can't have it both ways. And so he took willfully. In disobedience, Paul wrote. And he ate of the fruit. Just like Jesus, he had a decision to make. Many years later, my people are separated because of their sin. Just like the first Adam. When the last Adam came, his people were separated because of their sin against God. And he had a decision to make. And he willfully, voluntarily said, I'm going to be separated from God the Father so that I can be united with mankind. I'm glad Jesus made that decision. Aren't you? And he drank. Listen, the Bible says, of the cup, that bitter cup. He drank of it. Just like Adam ate of that fruit. Jesus drank of that bitter cup. And oh, how I'm thankful to God that Jesus was willing to do that for me. And I pray that every one of us would be. If we're back in Genesis chapter 3, we find what all men do after they sin. Don't miss this. After people sin, the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 7, the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And immediately they said, we've got to fix this. We've got to fix this. We've got to do something about this. We've got to fix this. We can do it. And the Bible says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. It's very interesting. I'm not going to go into great detail because I'm eager to get to a place in the scripture before our time is up. They tried to fix it. Man's always trying to fix their sin. They come up with all of these self-help groups and it's going to fix them. You know? Well, they'll go over for 12 weeks and it'll fix you. Hadn't fixed one yet. Well, take this course and it'll fix you. Hey, hasn't fixed one yet. Do this and it'll fix you. Do that and it'll fix you. Only Jesus can mend a broken heart. Only Jesus can mend a broken man. Only Jesus can mend a broken family. Only Jesus can fix things, brethren. Man is broken in a way that he cannot fix himself. We need God. And here man tried to fix it. We'll just cover it up and everything will be okay. We'll just rake it under the leaves and everything will be all right. Well, God still saw them as naked. God just brushed off those aprons of leaves as if it were nothing. And he said in verse number 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why'd they hide themselves? Because they knew in the presence of God, they knew that their work was not sufficient. They knew. Just like I know when I try to fix me and I try to fix things, I know, listen, in the presence of God, in the presence of men, that may work. But in the presence of God, it doesn't work. Does it? It doesn't work. So when God came, they knew. Not sufficient. So they ran, the Bible says, and they hid. You know, we always do that, don't we? Well, I tell you, you let a man or a woman, you let a family get out of fellowship with God, they'll avoid a Christian. They'll avoid church. That's right. They'll avoid Bible preaching. They'll avoid it. Now, they'll have every excuse in the book, just like Adam and Eve did. But God knows. Now, I've done it and you've done it. I'm not berating and belittling. I'm just stating the facts. So we're going to verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, we're going to come back to that. This is where we'll close. Then verse number 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You know, people always, listen, sin will cause you to want to hide from God. Sin will cause you to be afraid. And so verse number 11, God began to evaluate, interrogate him. He said, well now, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And boy, Adam went to work like we go to work. See, Oprah Winfrey made billions of dollars on this. Don't you wish you'd have thought of it? Don't you wish you would have thought of this concept? What's that, preacher? Well, we'll get a show going and we'll have people on here and they'll just blame all their problems on other people. That's what happened right here. And people have capitalized on it. And now our society is drunk on blaming other people for their problems. Notice what the scripture says. Verse number 11, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. God, it's your fault. If you'd have never gave me that woman, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Right? Now, we're laughing a little bit, but you know what? There's people, I've stood in front of them, with tears running down their face, with gritted teeth. Why did God take my son? Why did God let my family die in that car crash? Why did God give me cancer? Boy, you look into people's angry eyes and you see their heart. Oh, it's going hard and it's difficult, brethren. You have to try to minister to them. But man gets angry at God when sin comes to collect. He does. And it may have happened to somebody sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, or yet it may. So we have to be cautious not to think, well, that would never happen to me, preacher. Well, now I hope it doesn't, but it could. It happened to the first man. And he said, well, it's the woman thou gavest me. So I don't know who he's blaming the most, God or the woman. But he's blaming them both. But you know, I like what God did here. Adam does like many of you men. Now, I never do this. You're arguing with your wife and you just got started and you know I'm wrong. But you got to put up a good fight. You know, it's hard just to say, wait a minute, time out. You know what? We're not going to go any further because you're right and I'm wrong. But notice what Adam does. He said, the woman that thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then he says, I did eat. Amen. I did it. God said, that's what I'm looking for, Adam. I don't care about any of that other stuff. You think I care about all those other things? Those add-ins? What I care about is you ate and you knew I told you not to eat. Right? Just tell me what you've done wrong, son. I didn't ask you all that other stuff. I asked you a simple question. Look at verse number 11. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? A simple yes will do. But Adam's got to go through all that. Well, it's the woman that thou gavest me, and she gave me. And you know, we do it too, right? We do it too. Come on. We do it too. Got to blame somebody for our problems. Got to blame somebody for our fall. And God said, Adam, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'm going to tell you who caused you to fall. You. You made a willful, conscientious choice, and you did it. So that brings me to this thought. Did you sin today? Don't answer that out loud. We already know the answer. Why did you sin? Let me help you. Because you chose to. I couldn't help it. Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that that's taught. The devil can take you to the precipice, but he can't push you over. Say amen. Look at verse number 12. Verse 13, I'm sorry. The Lord God now turns to the woman. What is this that thou hast done? Now notice, he didn't say, have thou eatest of the tree that I commanded thee not to eat thereof. So my opinion got a little stronger. He didn't ask the woman, hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee? He asked Adam that, because he commanded Adam. I believe that with all my heart. But he asked the woman, now what did you do? What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, well, it's the serpent. You know, it's his fault. But she learned from her husband, and she said, but I ate. I did it. And so God begins, and he goes to the serpent, and he begins, and he holds them accountable. That's what I'm showing you here, brethren. God holds us accountable. Now, mankind has taken up this position. There is a world out there that has done what God said not to do. Now, listen to me. There's a big world outside of these walls and outside of this little county that has done what God commanded them not to do. They've sinned against God. They've gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All of our righteousness is of the filthy rags. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, brethren. All of us. So what's God going to do about that? Well, God sets a precedent right here, and he becomes the first missionary. God does. God left his home and went to their home to redeem them back to himself. Now that's exactly what mission is all about. The Bible says that God left and he came to the garden. God left his throne. Does the Bible say that? It says he came to the garden in the cool of the day. And he began to call for Adam. Now, if you'll look at verse number 10, this is where we'll close. Verse number 9, I'm sorry. There's so much more in here, but I want to close with this. In verse number 9, I'm glad God has got a missionary heart. I'm thankful that God cares about people outside of the kingdom. And if God cares, I need to care. And if God cares, you need to care. You say, but preacher, they just do exactly what God said not to do. Yeah, I know, like you and I. Like you and I. Well, they're just rebellious and they're transgressors, preacher. Yeah, I know, just like you and I. Well, they're stubborn and they're rebellious. They sin against light. Yeah, I know, just like you and I. Some of them don't even sin against light. They never had any light. The only light they had is a light of conscience. Lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But notice what God does. Years ago, I was taught something about the character of God out of verse number 9 that changed my life. I had a man tell me, he said, I want everyone, I was in the book of studying in the book of Romans under Dr. Russell Rice. And he started up front and he said, stand up and read Genesis 3:9. And he stood up, read Genesis 3:9. He said, you stand up and read Genesis 3:9. Now you stand up and read Genesis 3:9. And he went all around the room, stand up, stand up, stand up. And all, whatever it was, 20-something, 30 students, read Genesis 3:9. He said, well, I'll tell you right now, I know what your problem is. He said, some of you read that like God couldn't wait to kill Adam. He said, is that the way you view sinners? When people sin, you can't wait to get out there and tell them how sorry they are and low living they are. No wonder you're not winning anybody to Jesus. He said when God went to Adam, his heart was broken. Why do you think God went after Adam? When God went to Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? Our fellowship's broken, son. And I'm here to fix it. Now, there's two things that verse number 9 tell us in closing. Number one, Adam's lost. God knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. Adam, you're lost. Where art thou? God knew where he was. He found him. Amen? Where art thou? He wanted Adam to know you're lost. I'm glad God reveals to people that they're lost, aren't you? Hey, I got to tell you. Just recently, God has done just... I've been sharing scripture with people and I watch God just melt their heart. I mean, they're kind of, you know... And then, their heart just melts. It's amazing what the Word of God does. What the Word of God does to man's hard heart. God melts their heart and brings them to a place of repentance. Adam and Eve, afraid. Adam and Eve, ashamed. And God says, Adam, where art thou? I want you to know you're lost, son. But number two, verse number 9 says, not only does that verse reveal that Adam's lost, but it reveals something very, very important about God. God seeks lost people. Amen? I'm glad that God came seeking Adam, aren't you? And Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing and he said that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. Amen. Calling the world, fixing things up between man and God. That's what Jesus did. He took God, listen, held hold of God, took hold of man, and brought them together through his perfect sacrifice. That's missions. That's missions. God going after men. God caring about the lost. And if we're going to do the work of God, we're going to have that same attitude, okay? So, it's a wonderful thing. I didn't get to this, but I want you to stand. Our time is up. Sometime I want you to go home and I want you to read Genesis 3 verse 7 about the aprons and the fig leaves. And then drop down and read Genesis 3:21 about the coats of skin. It's amazing.